money back.
Money back?
Well, they're not paying for it, are they?
No.
All right.
That's Sean, and I'm Carrie. Sean used to be a cop, but now he's not. And I write books for a living.
She does.
And
she is New York Times and international best-selling author. And
that makes me have cred.
The most incredible woman ever.
Oh, Sean's the most incredible woman ever, too. Anyways, we start every podcast with a little random thought. Sometimes in the car.
Sometimes in bed.
Sometimes in the kitchen.
Sometimes in the restaurant.
Sometimes in the woods.
Wherever we are.
We're random. And then we get a little bit more intellectual.
Sometimes.
But not always. With a dog tip for life, where our dogs join us, and also a writing tip of the pod, or
that's
vice
right.
versa, maybe.
That's vice versa, but that's okay.
All right, man. We're random and cool.
So thanks for listening. We really hope you enjoy it.
The notes that go with this podcast are on my blog, CarrieJonesBooks.blog.
And there's all kinds of other interesting stuff there, too, isn't there? Love.
Pictures of Sean.
That's not what I meant.
Hey! It's random thought time on Dogs Are Smarter Than People.
Yeah.
We're in the car right now. I've had a hell of a day. Hell of a day. Hell of a week. Hell of a week.
Have you?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, love.
But that's okay, because the week's almost over and it's Friday. I only have two more obligations. Three more obligations until Sunday when I actually don't have an obligation.
You have three?
I have to finish up an editing project about kindness.
Yeah.
I have to teach a class for 3 hours online. And have to do this little thing called Women of Distinction Awards, in which I get to be the MC.
Woohoo!
Yes, and I also had to deal with a whole lot of email today. A whole lot of email trouble. And I've decided something really important, Sean.
What's that?
I feel like I'm acting. I've decided. It makes it sound not very sincere. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm trying too hard because I'm freaked out about the MC thing. But I've decided I'm done with dabbling.
You're done with dabbling?
Yep.
It's all or nothing, huh?
Yeah. It's not to be confused with dabbing, because I will always dab, ironically. But I'm not going to dabble anymore.
Yeah, that's probably a good decision, actually.
Yeah, I think it is. So, why do I dabble? Why do I dabble?
I don't know.
So, here's the thing. Like, I'm kind of an all or nothing person, but then I burn out pretty quickly. Like, I'll join an organization. I'm like, yeah, I will do all the things. But then I realize that no one else is doing all the things, and then I burn out.
Right.
And if you're volunteering, it's okay because you're doing good. But at the same time, you start... Once you burn out, you start dabbling. You know what I mean? Like, you're not there.
Yep.
You're not full throttle anymore. You're not totally convicted.
It's not committed?
Convicted.
Oh, okay.
No,
it's not doing...
It's committed. I don't know why I said convicted.
It's not doing anybody any good either that way.
No, man. And that's the thing. So now, I'm never going to initiate an email chain. I'm never going to motion a vote in a board. And I'm always going to pass on information with a simple FYI, rather than trying to give background. These are the new rules of Carrie existence, starting today.
See how long that lasts.
Forever.
Yeah.
It is a brand new, non-dabbling me.
Okay. Sounds good.
Uh-huh.
In theory. Just to practice.
Do it.
All right. I know you can.
I'm a hard. As my brother likes to tell me. And
you can be.
And when I'm done with something, I am so done.
It
takes me a while to get to the place of doneness, but when I am done, I logically Ravenclaw my way through the thinking it out. But once I've finally thought it all out, I'm done. I'm done.
Yes,
no regrets. No regrets at all. I do not dabble that way. I am. I'm a firm decision maker. I'm like, I like this house. This is the house I'm going to buy. Boom, buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know that.
And that's how I am.
That's right.
John is snuffy.
Yeah, I'm a little snuffy, but it's all right.
You want to talk about anything randomly?
I'm actually sitting here thinking, I'm going to wait until the end of this thing and I'll be like, hey, nice monologue you had there.
Hey, I was feeling impassioned.
That's good.
I don't have much to say.
Other than, what do you want from there?
Nobody wants to hear us talk about that. They want to learn from us.
Okay. By the time you're done with this emceeing gig, I'm going to be starved.
Yeah, so if you
can learn anything from that, it might be, don't go almost all day without eating.
Yeah, that was silly. But you did have Indian food.
I had like
leftover.
Half a cup. Yes.
Buttery curry chicken.
It was good.
I told you to have the hamburger roll with it.
I would throw a shout out right now if I did have the hamburger
roll. Oh, you did?
Roll, not burger.
And you're still hungry?
I'm getting re-hungered.
Re-hungered? Baby, you know what you talk like?
What?
You talk like a president. You're making up words.
I put a hyphen in between RE and hungered. And I know what a hyphen is.
This week, politicians of both parties, so y'all can't get all cranky at me about this and say I'm biased or whatever, because my ire was for every politician that I read this week, honestly, because everybody had mistakes. Some had mistakes in their tweets. Some had mistakes in their official statements, like grammatical errors, you know? Not as obvious as writing described, is that how you would say it? But like, or calling an apostrophe a hyphen. But like, really, you know, if it's a written statement from your office, shouldn't you know how to use a semicolon? You know that, like, these are our elected officials and their staff, right?
Yeah.
And the ones I'm talking about were mostly Democrats and an independent. The president is obviously a Republican. So this is across parties, right, people? It's across parties. And it's everywhere. It's driving me insane.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny because you used to be such a hardcore, like, political activist. And now you're, like, reading an article. You're like, hey, they might impeach Trump. But way too many commas in this article.
Those are comma splices, damn it. That's me. Yeah. I'm like, okay, the president's getting impeached. However, this article is so blah, blah, blah. You know?
I know.
It drives me insane because how can you respect and how can you believe the truth and the veracity of the politician's statements, but also of the reporters? And I used to be a reporter, so I am not anti-reporter. But when you see the news stories online from reputed news sources and they have words smushed together, they have words omitted.
Double words,
bad use of semicolons, all this stuff. How can you trust that if you're a thinking person if they can't get the basic rules of grammar and proofreading done?
You can't.
That is my problem right now.
And I will attest, she is totally nonpartisan in her editorial censorship.
In my anger. And you know, maybe that's what's wrong with the world. Like, I was thinking about it being everybody dabbling in stuff and not really being focused and committed. But maybe it's all just lazy and want to get everything done as fast and quickly as we can because we don't care enough about our product.
Maybe.
We just want to make the fast money and get the product out there, but we don't want to make it the best possible thing that we can make.
Yep.
We don't want to learn the rules about comma splices, hyphens, apostrophes, and semicolons, or even what words are actually words.
Maybe they don't teach them anymore.
Dude, like all these politicians.
Maybe it's like cursive.
All these politicians are, this is not a millennial or a Gen Z thing. This is like the old people.
I was talking about the reporters and the aides.
Oh, maybe some of the reporters are younger. You know? But you gotta figure there's gotta be somebody old over there.
Of course. Apparently not in any sort of editorial position.
A good copy editor is like the sexiest thing. Sexiest thing for like newspapers, for books, for blog entries, and some should have them for their Twitter accounts, honestly.
What if you're not a good copy editor, but you're just sexy?
I don't think that's possible. I don't think it's possible to be sexy unless you know how to...
That's not what you said to me.
Unless you know what... You know what a hyphen and an apostrophe are, babe. You can be sexy. You may occasionally make up your own words, but that's okay. It's okay, you're still sexy.
That's popular nowadays.
It's creative. We're all just being creators.
Writing tip of paw.
I would like to apologize for my monologue during our random thought before we move on.
Oh, you were just worked up, that's all.
I was so worked up. All right, moving on. Jared Leto is a somewhat polarizing guy for who knows what reason. He's model pretty, a vegan, and an award-winning actor and a musician. And there's this quote that I read that struck a chord. Can you read that for us,
Boo? Well, you read it, but I'll read it for you.
All right.
When you commit something that's seemingly impossible, he says, referring to a sense both metaphorical and literal, and you're pushing through things that are seemingly hostile, and then you're like, oh, wow, we did that. That's a great feeling. And a little bit of pain isn't a bad thing.
That was a really good job, buddy. Sound like you're stoned. That's from the Rolling Stone article that we have a link to in the words that go with this podcast. And I think I got stuck on that because a lot of us writers, we whine a lot about writing, right? And I'm not sure why that is. Is it because we're plumbing the deep emotional recesses in our brain? Is it because we're creating an entire pretend world? Like, I used to get super cranky about this because compared to being a firefighter, an emergency dispatcher, juggling 18 jobs as a single parent, it felt to me like everyone was just being a little bit whiny. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And then I realized that it's because being committed to something, like to a craft or whatever, like, you're never going to be perfect, right? Like, you're never going to be perfect. And if you're super committed, you're always going to have room to grow, right? And it can play havoc on your emotional well-being, but that's okay. It's like Jared Leto says, you want to commit to the impossible thing to get the payoff. You want to be all in and not a dabbler in writing your life.
Yeah. Do you think anybody's ever been like, oh, I'm perfect at that. I no longer need to learn.
Yes.
Or grow in that field any longer.
Yeah, that's a narcissist.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah, man. I think that I met some writers who are narcissists, actually. Anyways, do you want to talk about what Emily Jacobs has to say on her blog?
Apparently, Emily Jacobs has some nice hints on her blog about how to do that, to be committed. They are basically...
What?
Plan to write every day.
2.
Stay committed.
3.
Aim for a word count.
4.
Plan early.
5.
Find your people.
And all of that's really what I teach at the Write Submit support class at the Writing Barn, which is kind of funny, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this, advertisement?
No, but apparently right then it was. No, but it's important. And I talk to a lot of writers all the time about, you know, like how to live that literary life. And it's interesting seeing how a lot of them have a hard time staying committed and making that time for their craft. You know, the family gets in the way or life gets in the way. But their dream and their want is to be a writer.
Yeah.
And they put all these other things first all the time.
Uh-huh.
Also, about that aim for a word count thing.
Yeah.
I used to not aim for a word count. I used to aim for a page count. Like, I'd be like, I have to write 5 pages every day or whatever. And you know what I would do?
Double space, make your comma spaces bigger.
Kind of. Says words. Yeah, kind of like that. I would write all dialogue.
To get a count for a college paper.
Yeah, exactly. I'd write all dialogue and it'd be like short, choppy sentences dialogue. I'd be like, woo, 5 pages, 2 minutes. That was awesome. But anyways.
So where are we going with that?
Or that was just a tangent.
Okay.
All right. So back to Leto. Do you want to talk about Leto, Boo?
No.
All right.
I don't know anything about Leto except he
What?
I kind of find it a little admirable that his name is like literally Leto. Leto. Look how it's spelled. Leto.
Yeah.
So he kept that as the pronunciation, which probably is Leto, unless that's not his real name. I don't know. Instead of trying to be something fancy like Jared Leto.
Leto.
Or something like that.
All right. So anyways.
Back to Leto.
Leto doesn't dabble. He doesn't worry about his name. He commits wholeheartedly or he doesn't commit at all. And that's true when he's on stage singing or when he's on the screen acting. He becomes, right? And dabbling is the opposite of commitment. It's an exploration. And that can be good. But you don't want to get so caught up in the exploration that you never focus. I don't dabble, he said in that Rolling Stone interview. He said, I dive in 1,000%.
Wow.
Yeah, 1,000%.
That's a deep pool.
What?
I said, that's a deep pool.
So, what's our writing tip of the pod all condensed, man?
Don't dabble.
Yeah.
Dive in 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our other writing tip of the pod is Leto is, in classical mythology, a titan and the daughter of Zeus and Phoebe, the mother of the god Apollo and the goddess Artemis.
I knew something was wrong with him the whole time. It's a woman's name.
It's his last name!
That still doesn't matter.
Oh my gosh, that's so gender strict of you. I'm really horrible. You just slap your thigh.
I did.
It's like...
I'm going to go get my fiddle out of the closet. Hold on.
Jeez, I'm cold. Oh, my God. Fiddle. Really?
Yeah. It's what you fancy folks to call a violin.
Oh, my God. True that. Dog tip for life.
Oh, are you recording that?
Yeah, man.
Oh, what you meant was dog tip for life or something like that. Whatever. What is it, dude?
Dude, you're supposed to be in charge of the dog tip. I was all random thought.
The dogs aren't around.
All right, here's
Sparty's
the
dog. Sparty's in bed.
Here's the dog tip for life. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
When you do things, do it well. If you're going to tweet, if you're going to put out an official press statement, do it the right way. If you're going to commit, commit all in. A dog is all about the moment. You know, a dog's not worrying about the past or the present. It doesn't dabble in his or her existence or its existence. It's going after the ball. It's drinking the water and getting it all over the floor. It's taking a poop, and it is fully in the moment of taking the poop. Dogs are just like Jared Leto. They're in 1,000%.
Yeah, they are. They really are. Because they got nothing to lose.
They got nothing, and neither do we.
Nope, not really.
We all need to channel our inner dog or our inner Leto.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sniff more butts.
Sniff more butts. Method act.
Sniff more butts. I think that's like a character name on... like a Simpsons type show. Sniff my butts.
No, that's...
Mr. Butts, sniff my butts.
Paging Mr. Butts. That's sniff right. Mo butts. Paging Mr. How old are we?
How old are you?
How old are you, man?
I stopped a long time ago. You
kept going. We're trying to save it.
You did a good job of saving it. You took it all on, baby. Save it. Yep. Nice job. Hey, hello. Now that people have blessed us with their time and listened to our podcast, what other little tidbits should we tell them?
Well, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Artist in the song is Night Owl by Berg for Free.
That sounds so 80s. Anyways... It's cool. I like it. Got anything else going on in your world?
All the writing tips are at carriejonesbooks.blog. I just released a book called In the Woods with Steve Waddell. It's creepy. It's a little horrifying. And it's a little romantic.
Ooh,
yeah, cool. And it's a summer buzz book from Publishers Weekly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What else?
What else? I have a Patreon.
Oh, yeah. That's...
You can find us on social media.
The Patreon's a great way to read a book that's never been published by you.
Yes.
Only Patreon people get to read it, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Subscribers, I mean.
And you get special content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get special gifts, too, right?
I do. I send out art.
Carrie Jones paintings, which are all beautiful.
And books sometimes.
Yeah.
Signed.
Signed by me.
Sean.
Just kidding.
What do you want to tell people, honey bunny?
I don't know. Just thank you. Oh, thank you for listening.
Please like and subscribe and share.
Yeah, you said that at the beginning, but we can say it twice.
Can we say it 87 times so people really do?
They'll probably just shut it off after like the 80th one at least.
Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share.
No. And get out and live your life.
Yes.
No matter what.
The whole point of Dogs Are Smarter Than People in this podcast is to try to make your life a tiny bit better for at least 2 seconds, in which you're like, at least we're not them, buddy. At least we're not them.
That's all. That's a good. People always have that outlook. At least we're not them. Having fun.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, good.